Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
There were a little letters that I was a little upset about, but the whole point was that I was writing to the Lord, and I was telling Him about my problems, and He worked it out. So no matter what your emotions, because that I'll get into that later too. That's a form of pride that we have been brought up in society to hold our feelings back, especially with our young men, how we are taught not to. How they're taught not to cry. If you cry, that makes you weak. If you're a man that cries, you shed a tear. And we wonder why our young men and our senior men, you know, have a heart attack at 50 years old. When Jesus shed tears over Lazarus, he was close with him, and he was hurt and affected by him passing away, even though he knew he could resurrect it, but he still was a friend. So Jesus showed emotion, and there's multiple examples I can give to how Jesus showed emotion. If he's the key example, why are we aborting and perverting the view of how men should be or women should be? God wants us to express all our emotions to him, because when we don't, that is a form of pride. We may not understand it. We may not want to operate in it. We may not fully know that we're operating in pride, but I come to shed light on that. Because we're operating in deceit. We're operating in thinking that God won't see what he already sees. You come to him saying, Lord, I love you, I worship you, and you do love him, and you do worship him, but your heart is screaming, Lord, I have an issue that I want to talk to you about. Lord, I'm really, really, really concerned about my family or about my finances or about, I'm really, really heavy about it. So you're saying one thing, but your heart is screaming another, and God is saying, I'm just waiting until you be real with me. I know you really come to worship me, but I know you really want to talk to me about what's on your mind, and that's something that I do. Not too long ago, I sat before the Lord, and I was worshiping, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. You know I love you, but God, I need you. I'm really, really upset about this, and I just went right into it. I ended up crying. I ended up throwing a tantrum, but at the end of it, do you not know, and I repented because I didn't know if I had offended him, you know, but at the end, the Lord thanked me. He said, keep coming to me, daughter. He said, keep crying to me. And I said, God, I thank you for being so open, because that's what we need to do, is turn to him. We're so used to going to our best friend. We're so used to turning to somebody. And sometimes we turn to people that are no good. They'll either come for the way we feel and get us in even more trouble and get us into a deeper depression. But really, we need to cry out to the Lord, because he's saying, just come to me. And when you got it all out, then I'll overcome you with my peace and my joy. So that's another thing. Humility and praise. Adoration. If we keep God on our lips, keep a praise and exaltation on our lips, we don't have time to talk about I. We don't have time to talk about us. And what we do is our achievement. If we always got God on our lips, then that keeps I out of our lips.
Yeah.
So then we have the humility of submitting. Humility of submitting. We all know what submission is. We all are grown enough to have come by that word in our vocabulary. It means to be humble, compliant, submitting to authority of another or to God. You know, I'm applying all of this to spiritual terms, but this is also to be taken in context of even secular things that we do. Going to work, or even with our spouses, or with our children. When you submit, and when you're being broken before your sister and brother in Christ, and not having a Holy Spirit, or when you can even fast on behalf of your spouse or a family member, this is all to be taken to the Lord in that perspective and also using the perspective of even your sisters and brothers in Christ. So the humility of submitting. We all understand that submission is the opposite of pride. Yeah. Usually the pride, you don't need anybody. You may have the formality of saying, oh, we're all a team, we're all in this together, but your heart can still say, but I'm going to shine. I want all the props. Even though we're working as a team, whether it's on your job, whether it's in the church, you still want your name to be acknowledged by the pastor. Everybody feels good. Mm-hmm. Pastor acknowledges your name. Even though you're part of the ministry team or the mission team or the deacons or the ushers, even though you all are a team effort, but boy, that pastor, bishop, or apostle, stand up there on the pulpit and say, I just want to give a good God bless you to Evangelist Cynthia. Woo-wee, woman of God. Everybody just gives you a round of applause. That's a very fulfilling, and I know it is. I know what it feels like to be acknowledged. But when you have the humility of submission or submitting, you don't even care if your name is mentioned. Matter of fact, you'll probably put somebody else's name in regards of your name because you don't even any of it.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Because it's like this is the way it works. The more that you're humble, the more that God wants to make you known.
Yes.
The same goes until you make your name nothing. That's when God will make your name something.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So when you have humility of submitting, it works for you. And when you're submitting, you're always looking, and you're always looking to not have the limelight. You're helping hands, whatever you can do to help. Doesn't matter, whatever it is. So with that being said, number six, the humility of patience. We all understand what patience are. The quality of being patient is, you have the ability or willingness to suppress any relentlessness or annoyance. You could be quiet and steady and preserved, even tempered in a hostile situation. You have an endurance even under the most difficult circumstance. So you have the capacity to tolerate or to even accept even trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. So we all know what patient means. So when you have humility of patience, I think that speaks for itself because, honestly, that works hand-in-hand with submission. Pride doesn't want to wait. Pride likes to make its own decisions. Pride likes to move in anxiousness, and pride does not want to consult God at all. Pride does not want to say, God, what do you think about this? Should I do this? Because pride doesn't want to wait. Because pride knows that if you ask God, sometimes God answers right away, but oh boy, sometimes God just wants to take his time to give you that answer.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes, also because pride moves off the flesh, pride doesn't want to know what the Spirit of God really thinks because pride doesn't want to let it go. Because if God says no, don't do it, don't go there, don't hook up with him, don't marry him, don't eat that, don't buy that, don't visit him, don't visit her, don't drink that. I mean, pride is going to say, nope, I don't want to hear it. So what that means, having humility of patience is very key. Because when you're patient, you become more constant. If you ever notice somebody who's anxious, they're always up and down. You may even have doubts of that yourself, and you're working on it in Jesus' name. If you have a spirit of anxiousness, or if you ever know somebody who had a bout with anxiousness, they're up and down. They're antsy. They don't know how to sit still. One moment they come, and then the next day up doing something. They're always on a new venture. They're always going down a new path. Yeah. Every time you call them, they're doing something new. You're like, goodness, did you get to work?
Amen.
God, I thought you was being a cosmetologist. Now you're an architect, and now you're being a bakery. You know, now you're getting your entrepreneur. Now you're in real estate, and I'm just like, woo, Lord, just stick with something, and maybe it'll work out. But one thing about patience, you become a constant person because you end up flowing to the tune of God. I have many scriptures. Like, I want to say I have, like, maybe about 15 scriptures but that went along with over the whole eight, around 15 scriptures that covers around all eight of these foundation actions that will produce humility. But humility of patience is very key. But then number seven, we have humility of suffering. And this is something that is not very attractive, because whenever you're suffering, if you look at anything, if you look at anyone who has suffered, they are not happy. When you think of suffering, you think of a squirmed up face, you think of pain, you think of uncomfortable situations, you think of brokenness, you think of stress, distress, but it's all part of humility. So when you connect yourself to suffering in humility, and we all can go several different ways with suffering. There's a scripture that I did want to share on this one, 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. And it says, we are afflicted in every way. And this is the standard version, but we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. This is a powerful scripture in itself, and can be preached on just in itself. But it goes to show you that no matter what comes your way, it may seem like you're being crushed. It may feel like you're in despair. It may feel like you're suffering, you're being persecuted, you're being struck down. No matter what goes on, whether you're in despair, whether you're being crushed, whether you feel like you're being persecuted or struck down, you will not be destroyed, because the Bible makes it clear that pride goes before destruction. There is no way you can suffer for the Lord and he allow you to be destroyed just the same. You will have to go through, because Jesus said that we will have to go through. Just like he was persecuted, just like that he had to suffer, we have to bear our own cross as well. But God is saying, if you do it in humility, if you do it knowing that the outcome of the reward is wonderful, is to gain a closer relationship with the Lord, you'll win every time. But you got to suffer in humility. You can't be quick to give up. You can't result in anger. You can't result in backbiting and whining. You got to take it like a strong soldier. You got to endure and be humble about it. Because believe it or not, you can suffer in pride. And you say, how can you suffer in pride? Well, you can suffer in pride because there are some people who want to make it known that they are really going through. There are some people that love to show how they're being tormented for God's name's sake or for righteousness' name's sake. There are some people who want to make a boast to say, I'm going through this for the Lord. Look at me. It's because of the call that is upon my life. I have suffered. I've lost my parents. I've lost my family. I've lost my home. I've lost my house. But I am suffering for the Lord because I was a great anointed, called, glorified man of God, woman of God. There are people who really suffering and understand that God gets no glory out of that. He is rejected because of that. That is not for his name's sake at all.
Yeah.
So last but not least, we have humility of worship. Humility of worship. And this is to me the greatest of them all.
Mm.
Humility of worship. Because worship is not just the act where you do it for a few minutes out of a day. Worship to me is a lifestyle.
Amen.
And we know that because I love this scripture, Romans 12:1, and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service, depending on your translation. Now, worship is a sacrifice. That's why I say it's a lifestyle. Because when you accept Jesus as your Lord, as the Lord and Savior of your life, you now say, Lord, I sacrifice all worldly things to live holy, to live sanctified, to live a separated lifestyle. So when you worship, you are demonstrating humility in your life, in your everyday walk. You can't pick and choose when to be humble. You can't choose to be humble when it comes down to your accomplishment and then be prideful when it comes down to your life.
Amen.
You can't be humble when it comes down to the glory of God upon your life and then be prideful when it comes down to your beauty. When you are humble, you work to perfect it in all areas of your life.
Yeah.
So this is how humility and worship act. Because humility and worship is your daily lifestyle. It also encompasses your set-aside time for worship. When you actually do sing to him or put on worship music and you go into a worship. Now, how is worship different than praise? Praise anybody can do.
Yeah.
The rocks will cry out for you.
Yeah.
The trees clap their branches. Praise. An unbeliever can do it. You've seen on all these secular shows and even at the BET Awards and the song that they won an award for was talking about fornicating, smoking weed, robbing somebody, stealing,
right.
Calling a woman a female dog. It was so derogatory. There was nothing Jesus about it.
Right.
But the first thing they do and get to the mic, and they say, I give honor to God.
So
anybody can praise the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Unbelievers can praise the Lord. Atheists can praise the Lord. Even atheists who claim there's no God in existence, when they stop their toe, they say, Jesus. Or they, you know, get in a car crash, or they, you know, something bad happens to them, they say, oh, my God. They know how to call on the name of the Lord. So just how easily they can call on the name of the Lord like that, you can easily say, Lord, I thank you, or thank you, Lord, something like that. That's a praise and exaltation. But worship is different. Worship is a more intimate relationship.
Yeah.
Worship is an exaltation to even a deeper sense. When you worship the Lord, you're giving high honor. You're giving reverence. You're giving adoration. You cannot give adoration to something you don't know about. You got to know what you're adoring. So that's what causes the relationship. It goes deeper than the shallow praise of, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, I thank you for this being continue the Lord of Lords. But you begin to adore him for your personal testimony.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you for taking me out of where I used to be. Thank you for changing my mind, giving me a new heart. Lord, nobody could do it but you. You are my rock. I depend on you for my sanity.
Yes,
Lord. I depend on you, Lord, to keep me joyful. I mean, you begin to talk to him how you interact with him.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
And when you begin to demonstrate in the humility of fasting, humility of praying in the spirit of brokenness, humility of seeking God, the humility of praise, the humility of submitting, the humility of patience, the humility of suffering, the humility of worship. When you get to do all these eight things in one, you have no time to get puffed up on your own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You have no time to always say, I. You have no time to get drunk on your own self because you're too busy giving God the praise.
Yeah.
You're too busy giving glory for what he's doing in your life. But not only your life, you're giving God the praise for what he's doing in your fellow sister and your brother life as well.
Yeah.
This isn't just all about you and him, but you're also spreading it across even the body of Christ. You're seeing God's glory in everything. And you see how he's just awesome. and nobody could do it but him.
Yes, yes.
Just to see if you've been paying attention. So the first question is, how does pride dismantle your judgment? How does pride dismantle your judgment?
Well, I have an answer for that. You know, don't think about self and think about others. Stop having a big head about, you know, I did this, I do that, I did this, I did that, and I don't care what anybody said, I did this on my own. You know what I'm saying? So basically, that's it.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. I love that. Great response. Does anyone else have anything to add to that, how it dismantles your judgment?
You know, pride, especially pride in money, can really mess your judgment up, because you can just have this air of almost invincibility because you've got either money in your pocket or money in the bank, and you're able to do this and you're able to do that. And you can be just full of yourself, but and not even realize that, you know, you're so puffed up. You're being this big buffoon, and it'll take somebody close to you, like a family member, somebody that really cares about you, to tell you about yourself.
Yeah.
So money can be a big downfall and really puff you up with pride.
Praise God. That is so true. I love that word you use, buffoon, because when you are prideful, you look like a fool. But in your own life, you are the best thing since sliced bread. Pride blinds you. You become, like I said before, insensitive to the Holy Spirit. And what would convict you when you would think certain things, say certain things, you now don't feel that conviction because your heart, because remember, it enters into your heart. So the first thing is, it was harden your heart so that you become more resilient to the Holy Spirit. You become also more stubborn and rebellious to his word. It won't easily prick you because you become haughty and you begin to get a hardened heart. But that's so true. It tricks you into thinking, and you end up looking like a buffoon. So, yes, yes, I love your response. Thank you, Pastor Collins.
Yes, first off, Apostle April.
Yeah.
This is Evangelist Cynthia. I would like to say one thing that could dismantle pride, what pride can dismantle is when you think you know it all, and you know so much that you take in your judgment or your knowledge over the knowledge of God because you think you know it all and you can't be told anything. So that would be another way of operating in that way. You just ask.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Perfect, perfect. So true. Because once you begin to think that I know it all because you have several years of experience, I mean, and it works no matter where you look at it. You meet somebody that has their education. I have my bachelor's. I have my master's. I have my doctorate in whatever, in theology. Or you meet somebody who's been saved for 70 years, who's been saved for 40 years, been in ministry for 30.
Right.
It all works the same. Honey, I got enough experience in that. You can't tell me nothing. I don't see it all. I know everything. I know the Bible frontwards and backwards. You don't even know how many souls I don't got saved, you know, because of me. If it wasn't for me going there, they would never know the Lord. So, I mean, in all areas, I mean, you think you know it all. So, you know, take heed, you know, lest you fall. That's what the Word of God says. So,
amen.
Awesome. So I have another question then. This is kind of like a overly obvious question, but I'm going to ask it. What are the characteristics of pride so that you know how to detect it? Talk about it, it's the same, but yet it still has some different type of answers to it. How can you detect And this could be personal if you want to go personal. How can you detect pride operating in your own life?
Well, to me, I figure like this. Like on Facebook, right? Everybody like to brag about their husband, their wife, and their kids. And talk about, this is my husband, this is my husband, I'm my kids, this is my wife, all that kind of stuff. And never give God, you know, his due, his thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that will cause you to have, you know, more enemies and less, and less friends. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I figured, like, you know, we're supposed to be a child of God. You're supposed to have that kind of personality. You know, we have to get that. You know what I mean? You know, you might live like a one-bedroom apartment. You know, thank God. You can't just say, well, I got that apartment by myself. No, that's pride right there. You know what I'm saying? And you might not know it. You keep on saying, I. And God bless me. If God's talking about, I, you must get evicted. And my name is somewhere like a cardboard box somewhere. But why? Because that part of yours is complicated, and they'll give God, you know, his due. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And I love the way that you took it a little personal, because that's something that you see on Facebook. And Facebook is an outlet where it could be helpful spiritually, but oh boy, on the flip side, Facebook can be a downfall for a lot of people, and especially because it is a social media website. It is meant to broadcast your life. That's its intention, to show off where you are, because initially it was for classmates to stay in touch when you were in college, but now it's branched into, you know, so many other things where now businesses are on there. So it's made for you to get noticed, and some of the biggest ways that you can get noticed is by flashing what you got. That brings reason. It brings a crowd. It brings a lot of people to like your photos, your statuses. If you can flash what you're doing, how successful, or if you can flash, you know, just what your accomplishments are, more people will be drawn to that for whatever reason. And some people who use it for, you know, really showing it out of the goodness of their heart, bless their heart, but there are some people who do broadcast on purpose just to show how they catching up or keeping up with the Joneses. You know, they're flashing the newest car. And you know what? The funny part is half that stuff don't even be true. They flashing a car with rims, it's their cousin. They flashing all that money, it was somebody else's money. You know, so they're just trying to show and make it seem like they're, but that's all the basis of pride, the pride of life, to make it seem like you're more than something than what you really are. So that's a great example, and that's a great way to detect how pride enters someone or even could be entering yourself or working or operating in your life when you feel that need to have to impress somebody. When they're not really caring for you in the first place. I mean, honestly, you got a lot of friends on Facebook. Really, about two of them are really only your real, real friends, but to be honest.
I'm so about to say, I mean from the heart, I hope I know about looking offensive, what I'm about to say. There's some people who got titles like apostles, prophets, evangelists, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They use it for God's will, but sometimes they use it for their own. Some people got titles, use Facebook for God's glory. Okay, cool. But there's some people who got that pride that they, well, I'm a apostle, this and that, right? And you know what I'm saying? And half of them just use it for networking to build, you know, to put money in their pockets, but not really building up the kingdom of God. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes people use, you know, some people who got that title or whatever. I remember one time somebody, you know, we was kicking, you know, having a good conversation or whatever, and I was the group that asked me, can I have with what? I'm just sensible, you know, just talking. Some people believe you use faithful like that. You remember Creole back in the day? He uses like a psychic hotline or something like that. And to me, that's pride right there. It got to the point, they delete me out. They delete me out as their friend. Be honest with you, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, I just want friendship with you. I don't want no help from you. It might not be a rude, but I'll just be realistic, you know? But I'm sorry for talking so long, but I just had to drop those words right quick.
Amen, and that is so true. People sometimes do use titles on Facebook to make it seem like they are more than what they are. There are people on there that are really called to be apostles, pastors, and that is for a good thing because we got to use social media is not bad. How we use it makes it bad. How we use it for people, but social media. We can use it for our advantage because how would we win the lost unless we go into the territory, the areas where the lost are? So we have to identify ourselves as someone of Christ, someone who is a believer, so that they can know who we are and identify us as that. But there are people, I agree with you, who do use a title, and they may not be an apostle. They may not be a pastor or a preacher.
That's right.
You know, and so with that, we do have to stay prayerful on that end. So thank you so much for your participation. I appreciate that.
Go ahead, Lucy. Not a problem.
Okay. I wanted to share, prideful is like boasting, competing with others, like example-wise in the ministry, who can sing better in a praise team, who's more anointed preaching and stuff like that. Stuff that I've seen before. I just wanted to share. That's part of prideful.
Amen. Amen. I definitely agree, and I know Apostle April would agree as well, that that inside the church especially and specifically, you have a lot of people that go off their talents or their abilities, and they want high praise for what they have done or what they have accomplished or their abilities. They could sing the best, or they feel like they can worship the best, or they can clap the loudest, or they can speak in the most tongues, the most fluent tongues. But at the end of the day, every gift and every talent that has been placed inside of us comes from the Father. And amen. So that was an awesome response, Sister Lucy. Prophetess Lucy, that was an awesome response. Unfortunately, even in the church today, there's a lot of division because of that, because people want to put their gifts or their talent on the forefront when really the Bible tells us to submit our gifts. We have to submit our gifts, number one, to one another, and we have to submit our gifts to the throne of God. So, amen. Glory to God. But I did want to touch on something, Apostle April, as far as the characteristics of pride. There's multiple characteristics of pride. But one of the main things that I believe that pride does, or what can be enhanced concerning pride, is pride can make us blind. Pride can have us leaning toward our own understanding and not towards God. Pride can make you think that you are right when really you are in error. Pride can make you think what you speaking out your mouth is something that is according to God. But if it don't line up with those scriptures, then it's not according to God. So pride can blind us, and that's what pride did in the very beginning, even in the heavenlies, even in the glory of God when it started with Lucifer. He had pride that blinded him. He was blinded to the fact that if you look at the Bible says he has jewels built all inside of his body. And those jewels reflected the glory of God. So he began to look at those jewels and became blinded by his pride and started saying, this is not the glory of God. This is from me. Look at me. I'm beautiful. Look at me. I'm this. Look at me. I'm that. But that blinded him and ultimately caused his downfall. So today, even within the body of Christ or within the kingdom of God, a lot of people think that they have the vision of God, or a lot of people believe that what they are doing or what they are called to is from God, but truthfully, it can be pride. But how do you measure up with that? You measure it with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. If you are truly in tune with His Word, If you are truly in tune with his spirit, pride won't blind you. Another one that I wanted to touch on is pride presents lack of discernment. You can believe, and it also puts you in your emotions. You can believe that if something is taking place, if you don't understand that it is not the will of God or it is the will of God, pride can blind you or create lack of discernment in your life. It can create lack of discernment because you will go off the fact to say, I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I know what I'm saying. I know what I said. I know what I'm doing. I know how I'm acting. And it's always that key word, I. And it's leaving you with no discernment. The discernment has leaked out. The discernment has lacked. And when you start operating in low discernment, you start operating in error. You become to get offended a lot. You become to get offended a lot. You become to exalt yourself above the knowledge and the understanding of God. You become to get super emotional. You start to think everything somebody does is against you. That is a form of pride. That is a form of pride and lack humility. Humility expresses love. So this is a characteristic of pride. And that's so much, like you said, Apostle April, it's so much that you can elaborate and touch on this beautiful teaching. But I just wanted to add my two cents in there according to the word of God. And amen.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Apostle. That is so true. It blinds you, and it definitely makes your discernment less sharp, and you begin to hit and miss, and you wonder how people fall. This is why I tell people, you've got to stay in his presence. You've got to stay before the Lord because it's so easy to point the finger.
That's right.
When you come across a prophet liar, as we like to say, if somebody who's hidden and missing, if somebody who has turned away from the Lord, and you say, well, how can it get like that? But I'm telling you, it's a really thin line. It's easier than you think to get off balance. It's easier than you think to get off path. All it takes is for you to get out of his presence. All it takes is for you to consistently stay out of his presence. Because if you're out of his presence, if you're out of his glory, you begin to now look upon your own glory. And then you begin to get blinded by your own brightness, by your own achievements, by your own
peace.
So this is why it's so important to stay in his presence in prayer. Don't miss a day with communion with the Lord. Put this on your mind. Humility is a voluntary act of obedience in our part that God requires us to do.
Mm-hmm.
This voluntary act. Humility isn't something that just is given to us. We have to pursue this. We have to actively choose and make up in our mind that we want to be humble, that we are going to work in humility. 1 Peter 5:5, the latter part of the scripture, 1 Peter 5:5, it says, be clothed in humility. Be clothed in humility. Even as we put on our everyday clothes, we are admonished here in this scripture to daily clothe ourselves spiritually with humility. We have to put on the cloak of humility. Do you not know that when you do these 8 fundamental things that I mentioned earlier about fasting and praying in the broken spirit, seeking God, praying, submitting, suffering, and worship, when you begin to do all of these things, don't you know that there is a cloak of humility that comes down upon you? There's a spiritual garment that rests upon you as you humble yourself in his presence. He clothes you. He clothes you in humility. So this is something that we have to remember every day. So much to talk about when it comes down to pride, and I still have so many other things to talk about that will help your spiritual growth and give you even more insight. God wants us to know about the biggest enemy. But God is saying it all starts with pride, and we learn eradicate pride out of the church. If we learn how to eradicate pride out of our lives, you will see a greater move in the churches today. You will see more miracles manifested. This is why people who have been in the ministry for 40 years, they can't understand how God can instantly cure somebody of cancer. God has the ability to take his Holy Ghost fire and burn up the sugar in your blood to regulate your.
Come on.
This is how Spirit of God moves, because where pride is, it limits the manifestation of God's glory. It blocks it. You will never be able to reach the full manifestation of the full potential that God wants to use you if you have pride in on the inside of you.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today. And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world. That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.